horizon has been defeated by the pirates of the new age. Alien casinos, well maybe it's just time to say that things can go bad and make you wanna run away. But as we grow older, the trouble just seems
to Lincoln freed the slaves.
Semi-professional asshattery since 2009.
Welcome to episode 4 of the Lincoln Freed the Slaves podcast. It's me, P, and Dr. Wang again from WTF Spaghetti.
Hola.
And it's the eve of week 3. It's a big week here, actually. It's a heads-up competition between me and my co-host here.
Now, obviously, if it was a personality thing, you know what I'm saying, where like we were going off radio personalities or podcast personalities, you would say, obviously, I'm the hands-down winner.
Right, and if we were going on attractiveness, then I would be the hands-down winner. So we got, each of us has our strong points there. But as far as the week goes, according to Yahoo, it looks like I am set up to beat you. I mean, that's natural, really. I have won the league 4 out of the past 5 years.
But, you know, if I got 3 players that aren't going to be playing, I haven't really set my lineup either. So that's what's going on.
I haven't set the lineup.
I mean, I still got Matt Hasselbeck in there. He's not playing, or he's very doubtful. I highly doubt that he will play.
Yeah, he's projected 1 point.
And you only projected 180. I mean, 20 points from a quarterback, and I'll be, you know, there. So
that's true. It's true. It is looking like an even matchup here. Some guys on your team scaring me. MJD against Houston. That could be ugly.
And so Clint Portis against Detroit, too, could be ugly as well.
In our league, we get bonus points. If you get 150 yards, you get 10 extra points. And MJD has that potential this week. I don't know about Clinton Portis. He looked a bit old and slow to me, but he is playing Detroit.
I mean, Ray Rice in your slot position is looking pretty good to me, too. I really like him this week.
That's one of the big questions I've actually been debating this week. Because I just picked up Willis McGahee. So I have both the Ravens running backs, one who gets all the goal line work and the touchdowns, and then one who gets the catches and basically the yards between the 20s. So far, Willis McGahee has outscored Ray Rice, but I don't know.
Even in our league with the point per reception?
Even point per reception, yeah.
He looks good. I like it when he plays.
They both look good. Ray Rice... that whole team in Baltimore looks good. Joe Flacco looks good. I'm riding them pretty hard this year.
I think it's funny how he just flings the ball around. I mean, you know, you're coaching, you want to take, you want to plant your back foot. You know, the touchdown that he scored last week, he literally stood flat-footed and flinged it. Touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of reminds me a bit like of a Brett Favre, Jay Cutler kind, where he can be falling over and he'll chuck it sidearm to try to get it to somebody. He'll try to make that play.
He's got a big arm.
But as far as the matchups go this week, we got some interesting ones here we wanted to debate. Basically, myself and Dr. Wang both picked different sides of these teams. The first one up here, New England at Atlanta. I've got Atlanta in this one after seeing the stinker, basically, that New England laid up last week against the Jets.
I mean, was it a stinker, though? I mean, if you
They didn't score a touchdown. That's Rams territory.
Well, yeah, that is Rams territory, but New York Jets, their defense has definitely stood up, and they pressured Tom Brady damn near every fucking play. Watching ESPN, I saw a lot of highlights of that game and a lot of analysis because, New England lost a game. Oh, my God. You know what I mean? So they showed a bunch of it, and, they pressured Tom Brady. They put him on his back all the fucking time. So I think that's not going to happen with Atlanta. What's their linebacker, John Abraham? He plays about 65% of the time. They like to keep him fresh.
They use him a lot against the run.
Yeah, I mean, so that's not going to be, there the whole game. And plus, he's Tom Brady in New England. Are they actually going to lose 2 games in a row?
I mean, I'll give it to you that Tom Brady, if Wes Welker plays and if Randy Moss plays, that right now they're both actually questionable. So he could be without Randy Moss and Wes Welker. I don't see it happening. I think Wes Welker's going to play, but I think Randy Moss will probably play too.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything about Randy Moss.
I just think Atlanta, I mean, Matt Ryan has really developed in his second year. Him and Joe Flacco actually have both tied for the league with league lead behind Breeze.
And no one's catching Breeze.
With touchdown passes.
No one's catching Breeze. He's ridiculous right now. He's making
Tony
it look
Gonzalez
like...
looks like he's a beast too. I mean, I just think Atlanta has got the whole team, the team game going, and New England looked kind of shaky. I just think maybe we're going to start to see New England fall off this year. Is this, you know, maybe they're not an elite team.
I just don't see it happening. I just think that, you know, New England is a great team, and great teams do not, by minimum, they're a good team. You can't say that they're not a good team, and good teams do not win or do not lose two in a row, period. It is at Atlanta, so they do have the home crowd, which is, you know, always good in football, but.
Yeah, I mean, I could easily see New England winning, but if they're missing their two top wideouts, then I give that to Atlanta easily. The next one we got here a big conflict on is Tennessee versus the Jets. I've got the Jets in this. After seeing the game they played against New England, the defense and just the way Mark Sanchez is actually, you know, taking some chances downfield and their running game, I think they can beat Tennessee. Tennessee's defense looks like it really misses Albert Haynesworth. I don't think it has the same pressure on quarterbacks that it did last year that kept the secondary alive. What do you think about Tennessee's shot?
Tennessee is the only reason why I'm taking Tennessee in this one. And this is, I know a lot of people are picking the Jets in this game. And the only reason why I'm picking Tennessee is because, you know, Tennessee had the best record last year. I mean, you cannot start the season off 0-3.
That's true.
You cannot start the
Tennessee's back is definitely against the wall.
I mean, if you start 0-3, I don't know what the history is on this, but I know for a fact that it does not happen. You do not make to the playoffs if you start 0-3.
Yeah. I mean, 0-2 is already a pretty big uphill battle, especially in the division they're in. I mean, you know, they have the Colts there and the Texans who could easily contend. Right.
I mean, I just don't know what is up with Tennessee's defense. I mean, Tennessee's defense is not the same. I mean, is it all Albert Haynesworth? I mean, they were throwing on him all over the place, too. The corners really don't look the same. I mean,
I think that all comes back from not having that pressure. Because if your quarter, your wideouts can guard somebody for 4 seconds until Albert Haynesworth crushes that pocket, it's totally different than, you know, having to guard somebody the entire play.
I mean, he did get paid $100 million. I mean, he is worth the money
in that sense. I'd have him on my team. Best D tackle in the league in my mind.
I mean, you always want a fat dude. You want a fat dude that causes pressure.
And he's mean.
Yeah, he's kind of a dick. I'll take the kind out. He is a dick.
Yeah, he stomped on someone's head. That was. Yeah.
But, you know, the only reason why I'm picking Tennessee, they can't win. They can't lose this one. If they lose this one, then their whole season's shot. And I really think Jeff Fisher is going to get them all hyphy, you know. So.
And, I mean, really, if you had to say who is the best player on either of these teams, it's probably Chris Johnson, and he plays for Tennessee. So, I mean, there is that. I just think the Jets show up big. Another one we got here. New Orleans versus Buffalo. I'm still on the New Orleans bandwagon here. Drew Brees is looking unstoppable. He's going to try to give Tom Brady a run for his money at that 50-touchdown record.
I got nothing bad to say about New Orleans. They're seriously making it look like arena football. I mean, NFL football does not get played like that. It kind of reminds me of the 99 Rams, you know, just going crazy. 99-2000 Rams. And, you know, Buffalo, I just like Buffalo. I mean, I'm not necessarily, I'm picking New Orleans to win the game in my pick'em league, but I definitely don't think it's going to be a close game. I don't think they're going to get blown out or anything like that. But then again, man, I mean, Drew Brees has just been looking like, you know.
You mean Buffalo could easily be 2-0. They barely got beat they got beat hot-handedly by New England, but it was a really close game. They were winning until the fumble at the very end. So, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me necessarily. New Orleans defense isn't anything
right,
to write home
saying.
About, but I just think Drew Brees ends up getting it done.
You know, but, you know, Fred Jackson's doing really good in Buffalo. I mean, Trent Edwards looks like he's got the leadership down. I mean, I've always thought that that's what he was missing. He didn't. You know, I didn't know if he had the respect of his linemen, his team, really, the past couple years. Plus, he's been injured. I mean, I really think that he did a lot of preparing this offseason.
So what do you think's going to – Marshawn Lynch will be back here in a game. What do you think happens there?
It's going to be a tough coaching decision because Fred Jackson is doing too well, and they love him. I mean, that's the thing. I've heard multiple reports like Buffalo loves them some Fred Jackson. So, you know, is Beast Mode going to be, I mean, it's definitely minimum is going to happen is that, you know, Fred Jackson is going to get more carries. That is going to happen. They're, you know, they're going to, if they're getting involved in the screen game, you know, he's going to get more looks from the performance that he's already put up in the past two games. You would be stupid if you were a team and you didn't.
Yeah, I think it'll probably be around somewhere around 50-50. Marshawn Lynch, you know, they liked him last year. He did really well. And I think at the beginning of the year, they were talking he was going to be, as soon as he came back, he is full, you know, workhorse.
He's going to be
100% of the carries. But just the way Jackson's played, you can't really do that. You have to give him the ball at least some of the time.
You have to get your playmakers the ball. And Fred Jackson has been a big playmaker for Buffalo.
So who do you think is a better fantasy play overall the rest of the season, Marshawn Lynch or Fred Jackson?
If you are in a standard league, Marshawn Lynch. If you are in a points per reception league, by far Fred Jackson. But that's not to say it works the other way. Fred Jackson is still good in a standard league, and where I would think that in a points per reception league, Marshawn Lynch would not be doing good.
It all depends, I guess, how much goal line work he gets. If he starts scoring, you know, a touchdown or two a game, he'll be playable in no matter what the format. Some teams we want to focus on this week where it's like almost just go ahead and start anybody you've got from them.
The fantasy-focused teams of the week.
I like that. That's good.
We need some intro music or something to go in when we do that.
We should. I was actually thinking earlier, you know, some music between the segments to give this maybe a little bit of definition.
Get hyped
what's
coming.
We're on a different topic now. We're done with the matchups of
it's
the
over.
Week. Now we're talking about fantasy teams to start everybody. The first one you want to go with is Chicago, or what I want to go with actually is Chicago. They're playing Seattle. I think this is the game that Matt Forte gets back on track. He plays like the top five pick that he was. Jay Cutler is, you know, looking better every game. His wideouts, you know, they've kind of performed better than expected. Really, every week it seems like a different guy comes up and makes a play.
Aren't they playing Pittsburgh?
No, they're playing Seattle.
Oh, they played Pittsburgh last
week. They beat Pittsburgh.
Right.
Defending Super Bowl champions.
I mean, I don't know about that game. They missed two field goals. That's why, I mean, the only reason why they got a win, they did not. Pittsburgh won that game, in my opinion. That's, you know, Pittsburgh doesn't usually blow people out. They won the Super Bowl by winning close games.
But if
that is
the danger of close games, that you leave a guy like Jay Cutler some time. He can come back and put those points on you.
That's why they got him. He's
another
a good guy.
Another team I think you can just start everybody is the Ravens. They play Cleveland this week. Hasn't shown that they can stop anybody. So Ray Rice, Willis McGahee, I think you start them both. Joe Flacco, he's getting close to that point where you might want to start him every week.
I would say he's already at that point. I mean, the first week, you never know. Second week, he did a solid performance. There's no reason not to start him against Cleveland. Absolutely.
I don't think he has a better game than week one just because Cleveland will be ran all over. So, I mean, I don't expect him to pass the ball as much. But I still think he puts one up, one in the end zone through the air. And he makes – I mean, Baltimore's really gone back to a balanced team. I mean, they've been a run team forever, but now they got this talent at quarterback. They're starting to throw it a bit.
I like it. I mean, did you see the hit – that there was that end of the game by Ray Lewis? I mean, like, oh my god!
I was surprised Darren Sproles got up. I thought he might have died.
That was a rocket. I mean, and if anyone else did it, it was still a good play. But Ray Lewis did it; it just makes that much tighter.
Right. Yeah. And that's what a veteran play too. You just see him before the ball is snapped. He times it perfectly. He just starts rushing.
It was
as
awesome.
The ball is snapped. The guys aren't even out of their stance before he threw it into
Sproles
the backfield.
Sproles barely got the ball before he got rocked.
Before he just got planted.
Right. It would actually be if the quarterback knew it was, you know, even saw a glimpse of it, don't give him the ball. I mean, because Ray Lewis was
want to keep it and let Ray Lewis do that to you.
Well, no, I'm just saying, but Ray Lewis was not going for the quarterback. He was in, you know, he was running back all the way. At least that's what it looked. But, I mean, what an awesome hit.
Yeah, that was definitely good. Did you see the hit on Greg Olsen?
It was mean, man.
That one was almost... It looked. You know, we're big UFC fans here. It looked...
It's a knockout.
That's what people look like when they get knocked out and they try to get up. They get to their hands and knees and then kind of lose their balance and fall over. And that's... That I wouldn't be surprised if Greg Olsen had a minor concussion.
Oh, man. I mean, and that's what, I mean, the thing that I thought about the most is why, that's why it's a possible lockout. The players are going on strike in 2010 because, I mean, football is a rough sport. I don't know. I mean, I talk, for my job, I talk to people over in the UK all the time. And I would say a good portion, 85 to 90% plus, think football players are pussies. And they do it because, oh, they got pads on. You want to play a real sport, you know, go play rugby. Those motherfuckers are crazy. And I'm not saying the rugby players are not hardcore. But I am saying that it is on a different level. You're running full speed, best athletes in the world, head-to-head. I mean, no. Football is more dangerous than rugby, hands down. There's no effing way.
Well, yeah, I mean, that the pads apparently make it even the hits harder because you got this hard plastic shell.
Right.
Coming at you instead of people's movable bodies.
In rugby, you're not going to run full speed and just launch yourself at somebody because you don't have pads on. Okay? You're not going to, if you did that with no pads on, you would, you know, if football players did that with no pads on, they would be breaking bones every freaking game.
Exactly.
So the pads help them not break bones.
It actually, I think about it almost every week. Every week you see so many guys go down with injuries that it, when somebody like Peyton Manning is just in there every game.
Brett Favre comes
you know,
to mind.
Right. You just, I mean, guys like that, I can't, you know, how many games did Marshall Faulk miss? It's like, that's, I think, that is what separates the Hall of Famers from the rest, is that they somehow are able to strap it all on and go out there
and
Sunday
and perform.
Not
to mention, that's all present day. What about, like, in the 60s and the 70s where all those, you know, D linemen and D tackle, I mean, those... I mean, the dude played, what, Jack Youngblood played with a broken leg. His leg was broken, and he played. And he did good. Craziness. If you see anybody, no, I think the media would be in an uproar if someone played with a broken leg in this day. There would be riots, you know, I don't know. Maybe not riots, but you know what I'm trying to get to. That's not going to happen in present day.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely, you know, it's a different game, but... just it gives you so much respect for the guys who are able to stay healthy.
No doubt.
Another game here that's going to blow up for fantasy points, Houston this week.
Versus Jacksonville.
I mean, neither of these guys have shown that they can really stop much of anything.
Anybody. Yeah, the Houston is the last in rush defense. Jacksonville, again, kind of one of those teams like Tennessee, but not last year. The you know, they were...
They were good.
They were good.
A long time, and they just don't seem to have it.
I don't know what happened.
I look for Houston, you know, everyone you can pretty much play there.
Steve Slayton is a definite start.
Yeah, he's had some, he's kind of like Matt Forte there. He's had a bad couple of weeks, but really, I mean, a lot of it's the matchups.
You can, right.
He's not. I think he's going to be worth something by the end of the year.
And Matt Forte versus Seattle this week also, that's going to be
a coming out party.
Should be.
If you traded away Matt Forte... because of his first two games, I really, you know, you probably made a bad deal unless you got just an extraordinary talent. I think he does end up being, you know, top 5 to 7 running back by the end of the year, which is where he was drafted. Same with Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah, he should do big.
Jones-Drew is on pace to have the most carries of his career, so he's doing well so far.
There's also going to be kind of like an interview with Mojo on Sunday morning on the NFL Network. They come on 2 hours before and start talking about the Sunday 2 hours before anyone else, and they're going to have a segment of Mojo, and it looked good. He's talking about how many hits he's taken and what he does in his personal life. It's quality. I'm planning on checking it out if I'm up at that time, for sure.
Another thing to check out this Sunday, ESPN's like pre-game fantasy show. They have it. It's an online deal. Starts a half hour before kickoff, and it just goes on, you know, sit starts, injury reports and things. And it's actually getting moved to ESPN2, so it'll this will be the first week you can watch it on your big TV.
Yeah, I've listened to it before. It really helps if you just, it's Sunday morning, and you don't know what the hell to do, you know. You
oh, man, last week I could have, you know, if I wouldn't have watched one of those pregame shows, I'd end up with Wes Welker in my lineup with 0 points, and that would have been no good. So make sure you listen to us on Friday or Saturday.
Right.
And then, you know, on Sunday morning, take a look at ESPN Dose.
Right. I mean, you got to, you know, don't get us wrong. We should not be your only fantasy people that you listen to. I mean, in order to win your league, you need to listen to something, yes. read something, yes.
Unless you're just ridiculously lucky.
Right. I mean, but you need to get information from all over the places and then make your decision. I know that's how I do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, different rankings. Some guys, like a good example here is Frank Gore. A lot of people are recommending you sit Frank Gore because he's playing the famed Minnesota defense with the Williams wall and all of that. And then you got other people, you know, saying, hey, look, Minnesota's let up some yards on the ground this year. They're not the wall that they have been in the past. And, I mean, it, you know, if you just listen to one of them, you got no side. You only got one side of the story. So
yeah, you definitely need to make your own decision after reading a bunch of stuff. That's how I do it. And that's how champions do it.
That is how. I will endorse this message. And I am a champion.
So what's going on next? What else we got to talk about? Because I think that segment is, again, over. And this is where the music would be.
Dun, 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 dun. If we were ESPN, but we're not. So we got a lock of the week. Lock of the week.
Maybe some pots and pans going down.
I could do with some steel drums, some Jamaican steel drums. Right. We'll work on that.
Yeah.
But the lock of the week, I mean, this is a good survival pick. Now, I will preface this with, I am not the guy to listen to for survival picks. I'm out already this year. Fucking Green Bay. I am typically out in like week two or three every year.
I think that is. What's the longest you ever lasted, you think?
Oh, you know, maybe week four or five.
Yeah.
So, I mean, take this for what it is.
but I endorse it. I endorse it, too, and I'm actually pretty good at survival.
Yeah, he has won survival, gotten close to winning survival quite a few times. So, but the Giants at home against Tampa, I don't see any way at all that the Giants lose it. Like I can't even think of a situation in my mind.
Especially the Giants' performance, how they did last week against Dallas.
They showed they could pass the ball.
The only thing, if Tampa wins, it's because the Giants were not taking them seriously.
The entire Giants team falls mysteriously ill before
I mean, it is the NFL. You can't say
that they
can.
Right. You're right.
But the Giants really have to screw up and just, you know, take this game as, of course we're going to beat, you know, Tampa. That's the mentality you never want to have as a football player. And so if they don't do that, which I do not think they will, because they are the New York Giants, and they got great coaching and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, I endorse the survival.
I mean, the Giants are better on offense, on defense, on special teams. It would have to be some sort of crazy fluke for Tampa to win here.
Like a blocked field goal, couple interceptions,
a couple return for touchdowns,
right.
Maybe a safety.
Right.
Their defense isn't that good. So
their offense is not going to win the game. I can tell you that
right now.
I feel
safe picking the Giants in your survival league.
No, I agree.
We got a couple questions here to finish out the show.
We would want to say that we got questions from viewers, but we don't.
But yeah, no, these are questions posed from me to the co-host here.
Right.
We would love to answer reader questions.
You know what?
They don't even have to be football questions. If you want to know how to make a wonderful quiche, we could. Yeah, we'll research it for you. We'll do it for you.
A quiche?
Yeah. If you want to know how to make a beautiful egg and spinach cheese quiche for a lovely brunch.
How do you even know those the ingredients of a quiche? When's the last time you had a quiche?
I'm a jack of all trades. Jack of all trades, master of none. That's me.
That's hilarious.
So, I mean, which Chicago wide receiver do you want? Each week, it's kind of been somebody different. I mean, first week, Earl Bennett led the league in targets. He kind of showed up. He had 6 or 7 catches. Hester in week one got a nice long touchdown. Mm-hmm. And Johnny Knox kind of showed up against Pittsburgh and had some big plays.
He had a good game. There's no way you can't say that Johnny Knox didn't have a good game on the field and fantasy-wise. Because a lot of times you can have a good fantasy game, but you did not do good on the football field. As weird as that sounds, it does happen. But, you know, I was never a fan of Bennett. You know, I was waiting to see how he would develop from week one. And he didn't do too good in week two, so I'm still kind of on the I'm not going to pick him out of those three. I drafted Hester. He was more one of my late round picks, and I'm not dropping him. But
he hasn't blown up. I mean, your late round guys, your pick guys like Devin Hester, who, hey, he's super fast. He's got a new quarterback. He could be be the new 1,200 yard receiver.
Right, he's going
to. So far, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. No, but we, it's better. Still early.
Yeah.
To me, it almost goes to what your team is looking like, and what league you're in. I think if you're in a point per reception league and you need a consistent guy, I think Earl Bennett's going to always be that safety blanket. They played together in college. He seems to be comfortable throwing it to him. Whenever he's rushed out of the pocket or he's got pressure and he's just going to chuck it to somebody, it seems to be Earl Bennett. I like him in PPR. Hester and Knox. Hester's the guy who's probably their best, consistent touchdown threat at wide receiver.
Speed, brother.
Right. He's speed. Got the speed. He will get behind defenses, and Jay Cutler will connect with him. But if you're looking for the guy with upside, it's probably Johnny Knox.
Yeah,
Johnny Knox is the guy who has the potential to be the number one guy.
I mean, what makes Chicago's wide receivers really good is how different they are, and they can all hurt you. I mean, that's what's really good about Chicago. That's why I kind of like it. As a core, I rank them pretty much up there, just of the potential
I
that they got.
I don't think they're that talented, but I think, they're doing well with what they got.
I think all three of them together make it just a great wide receiver core. Now, individually,
nothing, but I mean, compared to, say, when you talk best wide receiver cores in the NFL.
I'm not saying the best. I'm just saying that they rank up with the best, but I'm not saying that there's plenty of teams that have better wide receiver cores. Don't get me wrong. I mean, Arizona, New England, but look at a bunch of teams. I mean, I think it's better than the Jets. I think it's better than Baltimore. I think it's better than KC, the Rams.
I don't know. KC's got Dwayne Bowe, and that man is ridiculously talented.
But that's just one guy. We're talking about cores now.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, but they don't have an elite talent. That's all I'm saying. Like, Andre Johnson and Kevin Walter is probably a decent combo just because Andre Johnson's so great, so gangster. But, as far as another kind of place where the wide receivers are kind of in a mix, the Giants, they've got Steve Smith and then, Mario Manningham blew up the other day.
Yeah,
so.
They did. And, I'm a fan of Mario because, first of all, just going off personal, his name is Mario, dude. I mean, do you know any Marios personally?
No.
I don't know any Marios.
Except for Mario.
Right, the Super Mario. You know what I'm saying? Firepower. Flower power. I'm sorry, not firepower.
Did you ever think it was weird that his name was Mario? Because they're the Mario brothers. So it'd be Luigi Mario and Mario.
You just blew my mind. I never even thought about
think
that.
Think about
before.
That. Mario is his
crazy.
Name.
I mean, I don't know. He just looked really, really good. Steve Smith has always been a safe pick as a third wide receiver. Maybe a slot position if you don't have anybody. Most upside for sure, Mario. I'm keeping an eye on him. I picked him up in a couple leagues. I would have picked him up in my main one, but
our main league is pretty shallow, really. I mean, we only have 8 teams. They're not huge teams. They're bigger, a little bit bigger than your standard team, but there's definitely. I mean, I was able to pick up Willis McGahee off the bench or off the waivers. That's you don't find that in a 10 or 12 team league at all.
Mm-hmm.
So. He's probably not ownable in our league, but in a standard 10 or 12 team league, yeah. I mean, Steve Smith, I really like as far as point per reception leagues go. He seems to be like the Wes Welker of the Giants.
Really?
He's the guy who catches he catches 5 to 7, 10-yard passes a game. He doesn't ever get 100 yards, but Mario Manningham is probably the guy with the higher upside.
I think it's really high upside compared to Steve Smith.
Yeah,
I think it's really high.
He's just going to be less consistent, and he's not a sure bet.
At least not yet. We'll see.
Yeah, exactly. It's still early in the season.
Week 1, he had a touchdown. Week 2, he blew up. What's he going to do in week 3? Come back next week. We'll talk about it.
Now, let's go ahead and finish the show up here today with a question that I'm sure is on a lot of people's mind. These are two running backs that actually people could own. It's not like, when you're asking
they're
question
–
Well, I mean, on the same team. Think about this. Like, if you're talking Matt Forte versus Maurice Jones-Drew, which to start this week, that doesn't help too many people out. Because who's got both of them on their team? They're both first-round picks. Very rarely will somebody have both those guys. Whereas this guy, these guys are both picked in the 10th round. It's very possible someone has both of these guys on their bench and is trying to decide.
You are looking at one right now. I have Felix Jones and LeSean McCoy, and that's who we're talking about.
That is who we're talking about. So the question is, which backup running back that is starting this week in place of, you know, the injured starter, would you rather, or which are you going to start this week? We got Felix Jones, of course, Marion Barber. They say he might play, but there's no way he's ready to go.
Did you see how he went down? I mean, it looked painful just looking at it.
And that's the same injury Steven Jackson had last year, and he missed four games.
It looked painful, man. Like, I'm not an athletic guy by any means, but I have pulled hammies before, and I've never pulled one that bad. I can only imagine how much it hurts to...
I think it was actually his quad. It was the same injury as Steven Jackson had.
It just looked painful.
I mean, yeah, how often do you see an NFL player... On a touchdown run, right. He's going towards the end zone. No one's going to stop him.
If he didn't get
fall
injured,
up short.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. That had to be serious for him to do that.
Fall up short, like 10 yards short.
Yeah, no, he had a touchdown if he didn't immediately flop the ground after injuring himself.
Yeah, but I mean...
So who do you like here? We got Felix Jones of the Cowboys.
Who's the Dallas Cowboys playing?
The Cowboys...
Because I know LeSean McCoy is... Philly is playing a... Who is Philly playing to? It was on the tip of
Philly's
my tongue.
Philly's playing... Oh, man. Let me take a look at the schedule here.
All right. So I'll just talk a little bit while we're talking about that. Both those guys are good. I mean, you can't really go wrong with either of them, but which one is going to have the bigger game fantasy-wise? It's an excellent coaching decision that you have to make. And I kind of feel...
Dallas is playing Carolina.
Okay.
And Philly is playing Kansas City.
Right.
Now, you know, neither of those defenses is good, but I think they're both about the same place, really. They're average, I'd say. Kansas City definitely had a good defensive game against Baltimore. And Carolina, all they have is a defense and a running game. They've got nothing else. So it's about equal on the matchup. It comes down to...
Dallas ran all over the Giants last week.
The Cowboys do lead the league in rushing yards. I mean, as a team,
huge.
They have the most yards.
Right, so, I mean, but I like LeSean McCoy, especially for a point per reception league. I think he would be your best bet in a point per reception
league. Yeah, he's definitely the pass catcher. I think he's a really good fit for that team.
Excellent fit
for
that team.
He's a guy much like Brian Westbrook, who's great out of the backfield. He's good in space. You know, they're not necessarily... He may touch the ball 25 times. That doesn't mean he's going to run it 25 times. He may only have 12 carries, but they'll throw him the ball on swing passes and whatnot.
And Felix Jones is kind of that guy too, but it's not how the Dallas Cowboys play. You know, Philadelphia Eagles run the ball by, you know, little dunks and stuff like that. So I would say in standard league, go for Felix Jones. If you're in a point per reception league, take the gamble with LeSean McCoy.
I think I'm, you know, personally I'm going with Felix Jones all the way on this one. I just think he's an explosive talent. The guy's averaged 9 yards a carry in his career. I mean, he was in the league last year. Last year he had a touchdown in every single game that he had at least one carry. But then he, of course, got injured. I just think he's a talent. I think he's going to – if he ends up being a starting back, he could be – a guy that wins you your league.
He's
good. Really, LeSean McCoy too. They're on teams that like to use the running backs, and if the main guy goes down for an extended length of time, both these guys are going to be worth owning.
Yeah, no doubt.
What I am a bit scared about of Felix Jones this week is Tashard Choice is in the mix there. He'll probably get carries. Marion Barber may end up playing. I don't know how effective he'll be, but he may end up playing. I just think Felix Jones can take it to the house from anywhere at any time. If he gets, you know.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. That's all we really got, right?
Yeah, I don't got too much else. We got a weekend coming up here. A lot of football to watch.
Football to watch. You know, it's, 35 minutes into it. You know, we like doing the podcast. I mean, it's fun for us to talk about it and bullshit about it. I mean, so.
What it is, I'm lazy. I would much prefer to sit here and talk for 35 minutes than to write an actual post.
Right.
I'm sure you've noticed that, actually. Since I've done the podcast, my posts have gone way down.
No doubt. And, what do you want from us? You know what I'm saying? We Lincoln freed the slaves, ass hattery. It was really just, a blog started off where we could talk about whatever. I mean, so it doesn't have to be about football. We both enjoy football, so that's why
we're doing it. Football is kind of just, that's what's going on right now. Mm-hmm. That's the thing we've been thinking a lot about, but...
If you look at our hits on our website, though, you know what I mean? There's some people interested out there in adult babies.
Actually, I had an article about which was a stranger fetish, furries or adult babies.
Which, by the way, how did you even, when I read that article, I was thinking to myself while I was reading it, how in the hell does one come up, what do you have to be thinking about just to come up with that?
I work with some really strange people.
Blaming it on the coworker.
Actually, one of them is a furry.
What?
Yes. He,
how old is he?
He's a dragon. He's around our age, 25.
Get the fuck
something
out
like that. Yeah, he likes to dress up as a dragon and hump other animals and people dressed up as animals.
Well, of course.
And I was like, you're a freak.
Because that'd be fucked up. You know,
or, like, yeah, fucking animals. Animals. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Just fucking people that dress like animals. That's
how do you find,
totally normal.
How do you find for other people
online,
like
I'm sure. Oh, come on. Everything's online.
But still, man, that's great. How, so he is so he doesn't care. He's coming out of the closet. I am a furry. This is what I enjoy.
He didn't, like, we got into this conversation. I don't know how we got into it.
It's a weird conversation to start up.
Yeah, it is a weird conversation. We have a lot of weird conversations. I mean, we've talked about what would the cost be for eating deuce. You know, if you were going to eat a piece of human excrement.
I think that should be a poll. I think that's the new poll.
That should be a poll.
But there's so many things that go into it. Whose deuce is it?
Are you talking like a bite of deuce, or are you talking an actual full-on, the whole bowel movement?
Right, you talking about like a house cat deuce? Or are you talking about a fucking polar bear deuce?
We're talking
deuce?
Human deuce.
Human
a
deuce.
A person.
A person's deuce.
And I am of the opinion it does matter whose deuce it is.
Definitely fucking
like,
matters.
Would you rather eat, I mean, not that you'd rather eat anyone's deuce, but
that's
but,
what we're talking
I mean,
about.
Like Megan Fox's deuce compared to like Dom DeLuise's deuce.
Who the hell's Dom DeLuise?
He's a big fat guy. Uh-huh. I don't know. He's huge.
Megan Fox, though, is a little girl. But, you know, she's kind of, you know, boyish. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
She's much more attractive.
I'm not talking about attractiveness. I could care less. But at the same time,
a big
I would
man
want,
have a big piece of deuce.
You would think. You would assume. Only assume.
But, yeah, we have strange conversations at work. So.
Yeah, but people out there searching, you know, come upon our site, searching for adult babies. And furries.
Yeah, so that actually has the most hits out of any post that's been put up. It has the most search engine hits.
Who would have thought?
So, I mean, apparently, adult babies are a big deal. People,
maybe we're the minority. You know, maybe.
I don't know. Maybe everyone else is just hiding it.
You know?
I don't know. I did read a crazy story. A woman actually called the police on this guy because he had tricked her into, like, doing his adult baby play with him. Basically, went on Craigslist and posted an ad saying, hey, I have a mentally disabled brother who needs someone to take care of him throughout the day. And he said, you know, he'd pay $600 a week, you have to change his diapers, you have to do this.
Get the fuck out of here.
Turns out the guy who put the ad was the mentally challenged brother, and he just had this lady come over and treat him like a child every day.
It's kind of genius, really.
That's and so she
genius.
Called the cops. They said, well, you got paid for what you agreed to do. You agreed to take care of an adult and change the adult's diapers, and he paid you, and it's legit. Sorry that he, you know, enjoyed it a whole lot. Right, I mean, sorry he was a fully functioning individual.
So how did she catch?
Oh, like, she just got suspicious. Like, you know, she'd never meet the brother. She'd only meet the retarded kid. And, like, the older guy would just leave checks. So, like, she's like, well, when do I... But then it turns out, you know, it was all the same person.
How would you like to be that woman when you found that out?
Yeah, like, it turns out... You thought you were doing, like, a humanitarian thing. You're taking care of the disabled. It turns out this guy's just getting his jollies on shitting in his pants and,
right when
and
you
having
leave,
you change it.
Right when you leave, he's jacking off to that shit.
Oh, yeah. Probably while she's there. I mean...
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, you know, mental retardation, you know. You can't.
Right, what he does. She's just like, oh, stop that. He doesn't know what he's doing. So I don't know how we got so far from football. But whatever you want to talk, this just goes to show, whatever you want us to talk about, it'll get done.
Right. I mean, I know, a blogger that probably the only other blogger that constantly views us is this guy named Fish. He runs a couple sites, Fish on Fighting. And Gnome Warrior is a Moxie moron. He's a WoW blog. And he's actually coming in town in October, and we're talking about meeting up with him. Kind of be fun.
We should do an interview.
We should
interview Fish from Fish on Fighting.
It's kind of interesting. I plan on meeting him, drinking a couple beers, seeing how he is. I mean, you know,
we
it's kind of weird.
We could go drink the beers and then do the podcast.
Probably make it more interesting, more entertaining. But, you know, it says that's some things that we think of.
I've never met someone from the internet.
No, neither have I.
Hopefully he doesn't try to rape us.
I don't think he's going to rape me. We're too intimidated.
I don't think so either, but... You know, I mean, that's what you hear about, right? People meet people on the internet and they go get raped.
Right, criminal minds.
I guess that's mostly women and children.
Right, but you know, adult babies.
Yeah.
I mean,
who knows? Anyone can be taken advantage of by the internet.
Oh, yeah. That's no lie. But, go ahead.
At this point, we're kind of just rambling on a bit, so...
But you love it. Don't act like you don't love it. If you're listening to it now...
Which you're not, because no one is. But it's okay.
We're right.
Because we're having a good time, as you can tell.
We are, this is the stones, you know what I'm saying? We are
foundation
brick layers, there, right?
Mason style.
Right, so when you, when we blow up and actually get some sort of viewership, and they go through our, archives, they'll be like, these motherfuckers are great.
Be like, wow, they just started this shit just for shits and grins.
I could be just like them.
You know, that is actually why I started the blog, the podcast, because it's like anybody can do it. I listen to these guys. They probably get paid something.
Well, we don't get paid.
Well, no, we don't. No, we're semi-professional. Right, that's semi. Key. Semi-professional. Right. But when I do listen to the professionals, I'm like, hey, I could do that.
Right. And if you're a site, if you run a blog, if you're interested, you know, come on. We'll interview you. You know what I'm saying? We'll give you some link.
We'll plug your website to our massive readership.
Right. I mean, the reason
major
why...
Major exposure here. We're talking...
You will get some exposure. It's not like we don't get a lot. It's just not a lot of people are downloading the podcast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Let's be honest. It's mostly you get a lot of World of Warcraft traffic.
Right.
He's got a great World of Warcraft blog. It pops. You know, I read it every day. It's it comes up on Google couple hits in if you're searching for it. So
right. So I mean, this podcast is linked from my website. So that's why I would say that my websites get about 300 hits a day roughly. So I mean, start the foundation. You got to start somewhere. I mean, that's what's good. So Fantasy Football Week 3 is in the books, and
just get ready for some more shit because this is not going to be a strictly fantasy football.
It's
podcast.
Not going down.
I mean, we will be here throughout the NFL season to give you advice. I don't even know if you could consider it advice, but...
It's advice. Yeah. It's advice.
I mean, if the homeless guy gives you advice, it's still advice.
Advice is, wise. We're wise people.
It's on the internet. If it's on the internet, I mean, that's factual. It's basically true.
It's going down.
But you guys enjoy your weekend, and keep on listening. Let us know what you like.
Peace out.